Father, we thank you for boldness to preach your word, and we thank you for an open door. This is a time that we need to get the word out to people. And we thank you, Father, for the people that are helping me get the word out to other people. We so appreciate them today. You know who they are, and we just want to thank you and give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I switched my message up. I was going to preach on one thing, and then we had the president address a business roundtable on Monday afternoon, March 22nd. And being that we're watchmen and we're watching, I want to ask you if you are all watching, if you heard this, most of you have, but just in case you didn't, he said, we're at an inflection point. Now, inflection means a turning point, drastic change. So we're at a drastic change, turning point, inflection point. He said, I believe in the world economy, not just the world economy, the world, that occurs every three or four generations. Now I'm going to skip down to what he said. He said, now is the time when things are shifting. And remember that word shifting, because we're talking about things are shifting. And there's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it. We've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it. So people that have been teaching about this for years have been basically told conspiracy theorists, and now they're coming out with it again. We're not going by theories, we're going by facts. And I like to go by facts of what they say. And David Rockefeller, a quote from him, he said, we're on the verge, this was a while back, but he said, we're on the verge of a global transformation. So this is not new. This has been in the plan for a long time, actually in plain sight. He said, we're on the verge of a global transformation. Now, this isn't just the United States or other countries. It's global. This is a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order. Think of that. Have we had a major world crisis in the last couple years? And are we moving into another global crisis? He said, all we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order. So here, President Biden's talking about the new world order, and we know Bush has talked about it. We know that Kissinger's talked about it. We've quoted them in other messages. We're not going to go into all that, but those are facts. And one of the things he said is, it's the time of shifting. Now, what does that mean? He said, there's a time of shifting, the new world order, get on board, we're going to lead it and unite the world. Those are the three main points that we want to talk about. The time of shifting. The old system has to be brought down. It's the old, and the new has to be put in place. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about things that are shifting. We're going to talk about you as watchmen. Are you watching, and are you sober? Are you aware? And we're going to talk about the wise and the foolish virgins too. So just hang on for a little bit. I want to not go real fast. So he's talking about here, in the New World Order, there's a great reset. And the great reset, we know, is digital. It's going to be digital currency. They've got to have a one world currency. And they're moving us slowly into the cashless society, which we know, which they can track and control and know everything that's going on. And we've been talking about this. And one of the messages, I go into it, if you're new and you haven't heard a lot of them, listen to As the World Turns. It talks about the Green New Deal. It talks about a lot of different things put into one there. So we don't want to go over that. But in Genesis 11, we see that they tried to do this one world back in the book of Genesis chapter 11 in verse 1. And at this point in time, God did not allow it to happen. God came in and he stopped it. But we know in the book of Revelations that they do succeed. And it's been happening. It's been in the plan. And now it's in plain sight, even with this president. But the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. In verse 4, and they said, go to Jesus. I better put my glasses on. They said, go let us build us a city. I was going to say, Jesus wasn't in there. No. They said, go to us, let us build us a city and a tower. Notice that word tower. How many towers have we been hearing about in the last few years? The 5G towers, all these towers are being, isn't that interesting? So they said, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, not knowing now, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained or limited for them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down there, confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. And notice this sentence right here, part of sentence. And they left off to build the city. Even though he scattered them around, they never really stopped. I never saw that till today. And they left off to build the city. Even though they were scattered, they didn't stop. And they haven't stopped. They want a one world language. They want it back, the Tower of Babel. Therefore, it is the name called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. So now, what do they want to bring back? A one world again. So we see God didn't want them to have a one world, because he said then when they come together, they're going to, anything they imagine to do, they're going to be able to do it, because they have everybody thinking on the same page, doing the same thing, and he knew they were bent on evil, right? It reminds me of a song that was written by John Lennon over 50 years ago. Imagine There's No Heaven. Now think about all the progressiveness that's gone on. There's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell. No heaven, no hell. Below us, above us, only the sky. Now, I'm not going to say the whole song, but imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. No religion, too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Again, beware when they say peace and safety. Here it says they're going to live in peace. Then he says, I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Then he goes on. Imagine no possessions. The World Economic Forum prediction that we will own nothing and be happy by 2030. What does that mean? No possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hungry. A brotherhood of man. You all know what the brotherhoods are, right? Imagine all the people sharing all the world. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. Interesting that this song was written over 50 years ago and none of us knew. We'd just imagine that. We'd all just sing along. There's been a plan in plain sight for many, many, many years, way beyond even before we were born. But in the Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, technologies in the workforce, they're talking about there's coming this Fourth Industrial Revolution where technology now is going to replace a lot of the workforce, a lot of white-collar and blue-collar jobs. They call it the global labor force. Creating new markets. They said now they're going to have to create things that are going to be new in this new world. Digital currencies, artificial intelligence, robotics, nanotechnology, the Internet of Things, and the Internet of Bodies. A lot of people don't understand where this is going. We're in the shift where that means to transgender, transhumanism. These things are being conditioned now in our mind. The first step is always to get people's minds to accept change, right? And one of the things the devil loves to do is use fear. He loves to come and steal, kill, and destroy, and he loves to use fear. To fear to get people to do what the agendas are, right? Now, if God is the light of the world, Jesus is the light of the world, there's Satan is the false light. So there's a false light. He wants to be like the Most High. He said, I will be like the Most High God. So he wants to control. Basically, this is about control. Controlling people, not giving them a free choice. As we move further and further into this new world, we'll see exactly what happens. But so far, they're dropping us some great hints. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse 1, it says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. For ourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, when thieves come, you don't know they're coming. Because if you knew they were coming, you'd turn a spotlight on, you'd catch them. But sometimes they come. We even had one steal stuff out of our neighbor's car over here. She didn't lock it. You got to lock stuff up today. But even then, they can break in. But you aren't planning for a thief to come. So he says, the day of the Lord's going to come. You're not going to know. People that tell you the day and the hour and the year, huh? Sorry, they're drinking something, but it's not the right spirit. But they aren't. Nobody knows. He said he's going to come as a thief in the night. For when shall they say peace and safety? When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. God will deal with this in his timing. Unfortunately, it's not our timing. They're his enemies. They're not our enemies. They're his. This is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? Principalities and powers. But you, brethren, you're not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Now here's the point I wanted to make. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, and let us watch and be sober. So when these news things come out, you need to be watching. And you need to be watching, seeing what they're saying, seeing what the plans are. Why? Is because God wants a people that is prepared. And if you're prepared because you've been watching and you're sober, you're not going to be deceived by all the propaganda and all the things that they're throwing your way to try to get you to be walking in fear and to also enter into the great deception that Matthew 24 talks about, let no man deceive you. So to sleep, it means to be relaxed, comfortable, careless. How many people do you know that are just careless? They don't want to hear truth. They don't want to hear warnings. They don't want to know anything they don't need to know, but it's going to be at their front doorstep. I like to be prepared, and I like to watch to see what's going on. And if I need to repent or change, if I've taught anything wrong, which I've done in the past, I want to get it right because we don't know when the Lord's coming. So we want to be ready. We want to make sure that our hearts are right. We've forgiven. We've repented, we've done everything we know to do, that we're in a state that if we should never wake up or something were to happen, we know where we're going and we know that our heart's right with the Lord, right? Amen. So we don't want to be careless. And here it says, when they're sleeping, they're not alert. They're not watching. They're unconcerned. They don't care. How's this going to affect me? And they're spiritually lazy. This is all a sign of someone that's spiritually sleeping. So we're to watch and be sober. Now that word sober in the Greek means to be calm and level-headed in the times of stress. To be serious and to keep watch. And sometimes it gets heavy watching. Sometimes it gets a little discouraging. Sometimes to give warnings out isn't the greatest job in the world and you don't feel appreciated and no one likes to hear a warning. But those that have ears to hear and have heard it, they're glad they did. Because they won't be deceived. They won't be sucked into all the propaganda that's going on. And they've learned what's in man not to trust him. Right? Amen. The Bible tells us Jesus knew what was in man. Now, we have to don't allow anything that dulls your senses and messes with your brain. When people get drunk, they don't remember things. They don't know where they are. I've never been a big drinker, a drinker really, but in high school, I had two Colt 45s. I don't even know if they make those now. But my mom and dad caught me, and boy, I was in the toilet throwing up. And I don't know how I got home. I don't know. I don't remember anything. And boy, did I get in trouble. And my dad says, get good and drunk and have a terrible experience so you never do that again. Well, trust me, that kind of did it for me. I was like, that is not something I even want to experience again. I said, Mom, all I had was two. She said, all it takes is one. I'll never forget that. All it takes is one. But you don't remember things. And alcohol slows down the brain. And if someone is stumbling around in slurred speech and they can't walk a straight line, they're influenced by a foreign, some kind of a substance. And this is the thing. People want to be medicated today. They don't want to face reality. They just want to dull their senses. They're having a hard time, so they just take things, all sorts of different things to what? Not have to deal with maybe their hurt, maybe their pain, maybe betrayal, maybe where you missed it, all these different things. But the best thing to do is face reality head on, right? Because people are medicating today like never before because they don't have a feeling of security. They don't know what's going to happen. But as believers, we're supposed to be watchful and what? Be sober. My dad, who was a World War II Normandy survivor, was very seldom sober. I can't remember. The only time I remember him being sober was on Sundays when we had to go see his parents in Pine River. And my mom usually was giving him the silent treatment for the week that he had drinking. But he came back messed up. And a lot of, I'm so concerned about the young people now today, how messed up their minds are by all this shifting that's happening. Your reality isn't, you don't know what kind of person you are, you know what I'm saying, gender. There's so much confusion going on. And it's all by design to take you from this shift to going into eventually, which will be maybe 2050 down the road or maybe sooner, but this transhumanism. And go study that out. That's something people go, that's too Twilight Zone or whatever. Well, I used to think so too. But in 1 year, they've made a lot of progress. And they're also dropping a lot of hints of what's coming. But he wasn't sober very much. And when he drank, it altered his personality. He was the nicest guy, but when he drank, he got mean. And he didn't remember what he did. And so we have two brothers and two sisters. None of us are drinkers because of what happened to him and how he brought that alcohol into our home and medicated because he was so tormented, really, by what happened in Normandy. And he had PTSD and nobody helped him. So I feel bad. He did get saved. You know, I made sure we led him to the Lord there at the end. But what a miserable life of just drinking and trying to get rid of that horrible memories and all the things that people have gone through, but it doesn't change things. When you medicate yourself, you don't change your reality. You still have to get up, and now you've made such a mess. You don't remember what you did. You waste all your money. I mean, I lived this life through my dad, so it's just sad. To me, be sober is very important. To be sober, watch what's going on. Listen to what's going on, because in Matthew 25, it tells us, let's look at Matthew 25, 1 through 13. And it's important to read Matthew 24. They're connected. And he's talking about being ready in verse 24, 36, that the day and the hour knoweth no man, so don't let anybody tell you they know. They have these people that say, oh, the rapture's going to happen right. They have no idea. And they've just gotten so many people messed up. I mean, just live every day with oil in your lamp. And don't go off on extreme doctrines. There's a mystery to all this, and none of us have all the answers, and it's not the hill to die on. But here it says, it's verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. What are they doing? They're acting like nothing's ever going to change. They're eating and drinking and they're doing all these different things and they're not paying any attention. As Noah entered into the ark, he warned them and he told them what was going to happen and they thought he was just kind of a loony. He says the same thing's going to happen. Verse 39, the coming of the Son of Man's going to be. It's going to happen like a thief in the night. It's going to happen when the cup of iniquity is full. God's going to return, right? So he said, what are we supposed to do in 42? Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Verse 44, be ready. 45, he's talking about faithful and wise servants. Now it's going into chapter 25, but he's still talking about these servants. There's wise servants and there's foolish servants. They're evil. He said, they're verse 48, evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. Verse 49, so they started to be cruel and abuse their fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. Again, he says, for the Lord shall come in a day when he looketh not, but people aren't looking for him. And so he said, there's going to be hypocrites. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, so now 25, that's the setting we're going into. He said, so he's talking about 24 going into 25, shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they were foolish, took their lamps with no oil with them. Now, when you take a lamp and you don't have any oil, you can't see. There's no light. So here's representing a bunch of people that have no oil. They're not walking with the Lord. They're not born again. They don't have any oil. And because no oil in your lamp means no light. We are to be lights, right? We're supposed to be lights, and we're supposed to be telling people in this day and hour, warning them, letting them know things are happening on the earth. We're coming into some shifting, some changing. Do you know the Lord? But they didn't take any oil. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And this is the thing. People think, oh, Jesus is coming back. We've heard that since I was a little kid. I heard Jesus is coming back. Well, he's delaying his coming. But what are you going to do in his delay? Are you watching? What are you watching? Are you watching? Are you waiting? Are you preparing yourself? And are you being sober? Are you making sure you're not just like the world? The spirit of the world has come on the church. And then he says he came, and at midnight there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. We have right now choices to make. The choices we make today are going to affect our eternity. So you can go get oil now. You can go get your Bibles. You can read your Bibles. You can stay filled, right? Or you can choose not to. You can choose to just fall asleep, be unconcerned, be lazy spiritually. What are you doing? Are you watching? Are you waiting? Are you sober? And then it talks about the bridegroom came and they were ready went in with him to the marriage and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Listen to what he said. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. I know you not. God doesn't even know them. So they were not Christians, I believe. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Whoa. Again, lamps with no oil don't give any light. Because of his long delay, he finds they were unprepared. And they didn't stay alert. They didn't stay. Even if you're discouraged and you're fainting and you're tired, get up. I just want to say, get up. We all have to get up. We all have to say, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. people are persecuting, people don't want to hear, my kids are backslidden, going in, living with people. That's all I hear from parents now. I raised them and now they're all living together. Wow, what's happening? Just still be a light, do what you can do. Don't get discouraged. You got to, and there's discouraging times. But when we're weary and well-doing, we have to look to the Lord who gives us strength. Because we can all get weary. Battle fatigue. You get tired of fighting. But they didn't stay alert. They weren't watching and they weren't ready. Somebody that's always prepared, I was thinking about it, is firemen. Firemen are trained that when that bell goes off or the radio or whatever, that they have clothes sometimes set aside. They are prepared. They are ready to go put out that fire wherever it might be. And that's how we have to be. We have to be prepared spiritually, mentally. Why is God warning us now? Because we have to prepare mentally for the changes that we're seeing, not only on the earth, but also with our children, with our grandchildren, with the education system, the things that they're coming home and they're being taught. It's just like, if you don't know what's happening, if you're not listening, if you're not watching, it's like that frog that just, you know, gets boiled to death. It's just little by little by little, because they're not aware. People are not aware of what's really going on. But the wise had enough oil to last. And when you're walking with the Lord and you're abiding in Him and He's abiding in you, we're going to have enough oil to last through the night, whatever the night is. That oil will keep you. That relationship that you have with the Lord will keep you stable. Regardless of what comes, regardless of what these presidents are doing, regardless of the wars, the rumors of the war, they're saying there's going to be food shortages. All these different things can throw you off. But if you're walking with the Lord and you have oil, He'll show you your next step. And that's where faith really comes in. We trust Him. Yes. And this is why so many people are not prepared. They're not prepared. It's just like running out of gasoline. They don't watch the warning signs. They don't look at their dashboard, the flashing lights. They don't ever go to the gas station to fill up. They just think, oh, I can make it. I can make it. I can go to another town. Some people just wait till there's just a hair of gasoline left. And they're not prepared. They're not prepared. And so many people are not prepared because they don't believe the warning signs. And there was a Tournament of Roses parade that had a float that ran out of gas during the parade. And it was the Standard Oil Company float. It was not prepared. They got the float all great and looked beautiful, but it couldn't go anywhere. So they had to wait until they got some gas. They ran out of gas. You could say that is with a lamp with no oil. The lamp looks beautiful, but there's no oil in it. We need oil in our lamps, don't we? The wise prepares for the night, keeps oil in his lamp, and the Bible says he's an overcomer. The oil keeps the fire burning and gives us light. What do we do? How do we prepare? One of the things we've been doing, if you're following us on YouTube, is we've had to do what Revelation 3:5 said, to him that overcometh. To overcome, your name's going to be in the book of life, right? Well, what is an overcomer? One who hates evil. And he tests and tries. We've been testing and trying doctrines and teachers. And I don't like to give names of teacher because there's too many false preachers out there. And I believe that's a game too, that they're just fighting against each other and they're bringing Christianity down and they're causing a big mud puddle. So you can't see who's telling the truth or not. So many people are confused. But an overcomer tests and tries false teachers and false apostles. And if you're an overcomer, you're going to patiently wait. You're going to wait for Jesus' return. If he doesn't come when you want to, you got to still wait. You got to stay patient. You got to stay sober. You got to stay watching. Stay filled with oil, even when he delays his coming. And when you're under pressure and trial, you keep watching. When you're discouraged, you keep watching. When people leave you, you keep watching. You keep waiting. Why? We're looking for him. Yes. Though none go with me, still I will follow. I have decided to follow Jesus. In Revelations 2:2, he says, I know your deeds, your labor, and your perseverance. God's watching you. This is in the Berean Study Bible. It says, I know you cannot tolerate those who are evil, and you've tested and exposed as liars those who falsely claim to be apostles. That's part of watching. Testing. Test the spirit. These false teachers say, don't touch the anointed. Well, they're not anointed. They use that as a scapegoat to preach whatever they want. If you're a true overcomer, you will test the spirits. You will try the doctrines. Because these false prophets and apostles, they leave you unprepared for battle. All they focus on is the material, the now, being happy, whatever it is, but you're not being told you're going to have to endure. You're going to have to go through some things. They're talking about supply chains being busted up and food shortages. People that are listening and watching, we've known this has been going to come. We knew this was going to come. We've been watching. We know what their plans are. Those that are, this is all new, you're going to be totally off guard, because if you're listening to the false apostles, they're just telling you to live your best life now. Well, what about the life to come? So you're not prepared. You're not mentally ready, and you're not prepared by the propaganda. I did a whole message on the propaganda, how they use the media. You're not prepared mentally. So people are caving. They're falling in. These false people have seduced God's people by saying peace. Peace. We want one great, one world system of peace, right? In the Hebrew, that means ease, safety, and rest. Happy, healthy, and prosperous. Beware when they say peace. The result? The people trust a lie. They trust what these false prophets are saying, and they're not prepared for battle. They're not prepared for this new order that's coming, that we're in. And I want to close with the 10-point charter of Alice Bailey. People have been asking me to say this again. And the plan of the new world order. And I'm not going through all of it, but this is the, if you want to look it up, part of what I wanted to say is, because it's the shift that we've been hearing about, we're in a transition where there's going to be new infrastructure. So guess what? The old has to be torn down. The World Economic Forum, something that he said, Klaus Schwab said, listen to this, the internet must be reformed. There is too much misinformation out there. This will be the next step for the Great Reset. Wow. This is the next step for the Great Reset. Now remember, in this Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution, they always have to have an enemy. Because if they don't have an enemy, they aren't able to do their agendas. And then they cancel culture. They cancel things. So don't be surprised if we do have cyber attacks. They have to bring down the old. Be prepared mentally. It's the next step for the Great Reset. Think about that. Are you watching? Are you sober? Now, this is the 10-point plan of the New World Order by Alice Bailey. And it's adopted by the United Nations. That's a big deal. Okay? So I'm just going to go through some of these, not all of it. It's too big of an article. But this has already happened, a lot of this. And some we're coming into. But this is not new. This has been going on. And you know who she is. She's basically the prophet of the new age, the new world. So first one, take God and prayer out of the education system. Change curriculum. Has curriculum been changing? Yeah. And they take God out of it because God, they want the kids to know, is not necessary to face life. Reduce parental authority over the children. She said, Alice Bailey, break the communication between the parent and child. This is by design, that there's so much division. Divide and conquer, right? Go after the youth, she said. Why do they want to break this down so the parents do not pass on their Christian traditions to their children? Liberate children from the bondage of their parents' tradition. Now, if you know this, you're watching and you're sober, you're not going to take this personally because your kids, many of them, are not following the way that you taught them. But it's the way of the world. This is the way the influence of the culture has been. And we're seeing many fall to it. But we don't give up. We keep praying, right? Jesus said in the last days, wickedness will what? Increase. There will be rebellion, and children will not obey their parents. It is not a trend. It's organized. Teachers are the agents of implementation. From workshops, teachers tell their children, your parent has no right to force you to pray or read the Bible. You are yourself. You have a right to your own. You need to discover yourself. Self-expression, self-realization, self-fulfillment are all the new buzzwords. Destroy the Judean Christian family structure or the tradition Christian family structure. Why? Liberate the people from the confines of this structure. They don't want families and marriage. They want to destroy the family union. How are they doing this? She said, promote sexual promiscuity. This is contrary to what the Bible says, right? Fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be named among you. Ephesians 5, 3 through 5. This is something that you need to see if you're watching and you're aware. Use advertising industry. Use the media, the television, all magazines, film industry to promote sexual enjoyment as the highest pleasure in humanity. Use propaganda. Some people do not believe anything unless it's on the news. You don't understand the media is controlled. It is controlled, and you're being told what to believe, and now we're being shaped to accept things that we don't accept, but it's all part of what she's talking about back here. The advertising industry is a multi-trillion-dollar machine that shapes and controls ideas and the culture with its propaganda from the elites. They're going to tell you, I always wondered, who sets the fashion? Who sets the, who are they? Do you ever wonder who they were? Who? Yeah. All right. A couple more. Alice Bailey preached that sexual enjoyment is the highest pleasure in humanity. No one must be denied, and no one must be restricted how to enjoy themselves. So as we see these changes coming, new laws are being set that we wouldn't even imagine 50 years ago would even be talked about. But now they're going to say, as long as two people agree, even if it's an adult and a child, it doesn't matter if it's a dog or whatever, all these things are coming into play. Debase art, make it run mad, because she understood the arts are one of the primary keys to change the culture. How? Have you seen some of these statues they have out? And some of this art? Promote new forms of art that will corrupt and defile the imagination. Movies, TV, the music. All these things are channels to get you and your children to turn away from God. Use the media to promote and change mindset. And I want to just sit on this one for just a second. Alice Bailey said the greatest channel you need to change the human attitude is the media. Use the press, the radio, TV, movies. Who controls the media? Who controls the wars? They supply both sides of the wars, if you know anything about that. I'm not going to get into it. Don't fight me. So much money is pumped into media and advertising and the spreading of violence, pornographic material, and other sources. It's being promoted as natural. You can't even watch a movie without these agendas just being thrown in your face. What is that? It's to control your mind, to change your mindset, to take you off of what you believe into something else and accept now. It starts with the mind. You're being presented with facts, accept or reject. If you aren't a watchman, you're going to be sucked up into all this propaganda. There's quite the power of the media is very powerful. A couple other things here that are important. Create, she said, an interfaith movement. I've skipped over a lot of them. You can get these articles on the internet. Get them while you can. Alice Bailey wrote, promote other faiths to be at par with Christianity and break this thing about Christianity as being the only way to heaven. By that, Christianity will be pulled down and other faiths promoted. I think they are pulling down leaders right now, leaders that have probably been bought off anyway, because there's a lot of Christians stumbling now because they had their eyes on a man. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Man will fail you. We all fail. We all make mistakes. We all have warts, but Jesus doesn't. We got to keep our eyes on him. Watch for him. Be sober for him. She said, promote the importance of man in determining his own future and his own destiny. What's that? Humanism. And humanism has crept into the church. It's all about you and your destiny, right? Very important point, especially for the church now in this next and last point. Get governments to make all these laws and get the church to endorse these changes. Get the church. Did you hear that, Watchman? Are you listening? Get the church to endorse these changes. If they're not preaching the Bible and they're adapting to this culture, what are we supposed to do? Embrace them? No, we're supposed to what? Yeah, run. Come out from amongst her. It's hard. And someone misunderstood me when I said we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're not a building. So it's not the end. If your church closes down or you have to leave, God will provide other fellowship and he's going to provide people for us, right? But we don't have to look to the world, especially as they've infiltrated it and these churches are endorsing all these movements. Why would you want to be a part of that? So part of her plan was to get the governments to make all these laws, and we know, and Daniel says the laws will change, even the seasons. Have you noticed? We don't really have spring. All of a sudden, all these seasons are changing. It seems like it's cold all the time. Different laws. Yeah. And get the church to endorse these changes. Alice Bailey wrote that the church must change its doctrines. What is doctrines? Your teaching. Remember how many people say it doesn't matter what doctrines? He tells us all the time, doctrine matters. It's very important what you believe. Yes. They tell you it doesn't matter. So she said that the church, a third of the New World Order is the church. Mm-hmm. It's religion. The church must change its doctrines and accommodate the people by accepting these things and put them into its structures and its systems. So now we have a church that's part of the beast system. And they have a strategy and what their goal, one world government, one world economic system, and a one world religion. This deception has crept in by increments, unobserved by most people. Just a couple comments on her in closing. Important points. These are very important. I don't want to just rush through them. Alice Bailey wants a unified religion. And which Christ is she preparing for? She calls it the Christ consciousness, not Jesus, the cosmic Christ. Who is this cosmic Christ? Lucifer. Yeah. So what we're dealing with here is a new system. Take down the old Christian system and put in a Luciferian system using the church, the ones that will accept it. Not all churches, not all preachers are bad, but in the end times there's a famine for the word of God, right? And then the last thing about her, because you need to know these points and we need to keep saying them over and over, because here we go. She said, there's no need for any man to join the Christian church in order to be affiliated with Christ. The requirements, here's the requirements, and here's what they're teaching. Are you hearing this? The requirements are to love your fellow man. It's all about love, love. Don't be a hater. You're a hater if you disagree with love. Lead a disciplined life. Recognize the divinity, being like God, in all faith and all beings, and rule your daily life with love. When they start bringing this out, then you know this is part of the new system. And where did Alice Bailey get her teaching? She got it from Helena Blavatsky. Aren't these names just so much fun? Blavatsky. So this isn't something that she taught by herself, but it's been passed down. These plans have been passed down. The philosophical societies. And some of the quotes from her book. This is going to put the icing on the cake. Put the icing on the cake for this teaching here. Quotes from her books. Helena Blavatsky, she taught Alice Bailey. And this is a quote from one of her books, A Secret Doctrine, on page 171. Lucifer represents life, thought, progress, civilization, liberty, independence. Lucifer is the Logos, the serpent, the Savior. She also said, it is Satan who is God of our planet and the only God. Pages 215. Lucifer is divine and terrestrial light. The Holy Ghost and Satan at one and are one and the same thing. To say the Holy Ghost and Satan are one, it's page 539 in her book. So why does Alice Bailey want a one world order? First of all, he will come to a world which is essentially one world. So when Lucifer's ready to come, the world will basically be a one world. Are we moving in that direction? And she said this at the reappearance of the Christ, New York, Lucis Trust, page 15. Wow. And what she wrote and what they've all wrote together, and listen to this, the major requirement preparation for the coming of the Christ is a world at peace. Peace. And lastly, what is the New World Order, the New Age agenda? Merge God and nature. We're starting to go into all this green stuff. The eugenics. Eradicate male-female distinction. Androgyny. I've taught that. That is an amazing subject to study, how this is their religion. One, world peace and disarmament. One world economic and financial system. One world government, one world religion. And the organizations towards these global governments are too many to name. And they said, lastly, how do you lead the world to unite and bring religions together? Education. You got to train them. You got to teach them. The world will not change and find peace if there is not a new education. Interesting. So, back to the very beginning, what was our president really talking about when he said, now is the time when things are shifting and there's going to be a new world order out there and we've got to lead it. We've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it. And Rockefeller said, all we need is the right major crisis and the nations will accept the new world order. Wow. Interesting. The Great Reset. Father, we thank you. Sometimes we see things and hear things we don't like to see and hear, but we need to do it because you told us to watch. You told us not to fall asleep. You told us to be ready. We don't know when you're returning, but we are to make sure we're prepared. We have oil in our lamps, that we're not trusting other people to give us oil, that we're getting it ourselves. And we thank you, Father, that you are the bridegroom. And there's a time and a day you're going to take us out of this world. And we thank you, Father, we know that this is not it. John Lennon thinks this is it. He's like, there is no heaven, there is no hell. But we trust in your words that said there is a heaven and there is a hell. Choose you this day. So I pray, Father, for those that are backslidden, that they would come back to you, that they would hear your voice, that they would know that they're forgiven. If they repent and they ask for forgiveness, you're there. This is a season we can still ask. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and you're just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we pray for whoever might be listening, that this is a time to watch and to pray and to stay sober, not medicated by the things of this world, and keep our eyes on you. In Jesus' name. Amen? Yes. I just want to say, are you taping it, Mark?
Yep.
Okay. I just want to say a couple things. Our weekly messages, our goal, if you're new to this, is to share biblical truth, expose error, and provide encouragement to stay on the narrow path and fight the good fight of faith. And that's what we want to do. And even if you are subscribed to this channel, they can unsubscribe you at any time. And so you got to go back and maybe try again, or go to our official website, livinginhispresence.org, and click the bell so you get notifications. And it's important if you share these and you click the bell so that other people, it'll show up on their news feed. And I know they've been playing with us for a while now. But as long as the door's open and God wants us to preach, I believe the word is not bound. And we're just trusting him to get it to whoever needs to. There are people that are literally waking up out of sleep. And they're like, what happened? I thought I was in a good church. Why are these changes happening? And they're devastated. And it is devastating when you think you've been on the right path and now all of a sudden these things are happening. But be thankful that he's called you out. Be thankful that your eyes are open. Be thankful you have ears to hear. And I want to thank all those that are helping us. We are only viewer supported. We don't have some big church behind us. So you that are helping us, thank you so much. And only eternity is going to tell, you know, the people that we're reaching. We have no idea because of the internet of what's really going. And I'd love to hear from different countries again, see if it's still, you're getting our messages there. But again, thank you so much for your letters and encouragement. And that's all I can say is thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main web page at the top right is a gift button. Thank you for watching and see you next time. Trade your helmet for a crown of peace at the altar.